So welcome everyone to your meditation class. You guys excited?
Yes.
Yes, I know. Meditation should not be this exciting, but it is. We have way too much fun here. My name is Krista, and I am your meditation guide, your meditation instructor for the next 6 weeks. And I am so thrilled to be here with you guys. I've been teaching meditation for about 15 years now. So I started when my oldest daughter was about a year old, and how it happened was quite by accident, right? Some of the best things in life happened by accident, quote-unquote accident. I went to a shelter to volunteer. It was a shelter for homeless and pregnant women in Lakewood, and it was called the Precious Life Shelter. I think it's still there. They do really, really good work for the community. And I wanted to go and cook. I just had, because I didn't have enough to do with a brand new baby, I thought I wanted to go and volunteer. So they said, yeah, you know, you could come down and cook, because that's what I did in another shelter before. And when I got there, they said, oh, you know, we already have a cook. What else can you do? And I said, well, I think I can teach meditation. And so I did. They let me teach meditation. I had, like, no credentials. I'm like, yeah, sure. This is, you know, back in the 80s. You can do that. Or not the 80s, the 2000s. And he was like, you don't need credentials. Just come and teach people meditation. So we did a journaling and meditation class, and it was one of the most enriching experiences of my life working with those women. And so that kind of started, or that was the beginning of me continuing to teach and to evolve in my own practice. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about is health. So the class is Meditation for Health, Wealth, and Happiness. And you can decide what that is. Health can be physical health, but it can be a healthy pocketbook. It can be a healthy relationship. It can be a healthy spiritual practice. You can make that decision on what health is going to be for you and what wealth is going to be, a wealthy relationship, a wealthy pocketbook, a wealthy and robust social life. You understand what I'm saying? Happiness can be anything that you want it to be, which is one of the reasons why I'm not using a particular book this time. I'm going to be giving, you know, suggested reading and whatnot, but we have a lot to talk about, and you'll have some homework to do. But yeah, we're not going to be using a book. So one of the things that we will be touching on in tonight's class is how meditation helps you to strengthen your nervous system. That's one of the benefits of meditation. In fact, we're going to jump right in. Typically, we'll start this class with a meditation, but tonight I want to talk about meditation first. Because I usually get this question after, it's like, I know we did some meditation, but I don't understand what we did and why we did it and how it worked. So one of the benefits of meditation, obviously, is stress reduction, right? But the strengthening of your nervous system is so important, because guess what? Life happens, doesn't it? Life happens. Things happen. They happen for us. They happen around us. Nobody said that you were going to come here. You volunteered to come here, by the way. At least that's my belief. We volunteered to come here on this grand adventure, and then we didn't say, well, why isn't it a lot easier? That's not going to happen. You're going to be challenged. And the reason that we have these challenges is because consciousness needs opposition in order to expand. Are you guys listening? Consciousness needs that opposition. We need the pressure in order for us to expand. And so many of you know my story. I started with the meditation, my own personal practice. I was very unhappy. I was in my 20s, and I was unhappy in my job. I didn't like my boyfriend at the time. Just nothing was really going the way that I wanted it to. And I met this woman who worked in a grocery store, and she was stocking the bread aisle. And she took one look at me, and she goes, I'm going to teach you how to meditate. And I was like, I'm sure when I walked in at 7 o'clock in the morning, my hair was sticking straight up, you know, on my head, you know, and I looked insane. So she helped me out. So she did. She taught me meditation. And the self-awareness and the breathing and the spiritual practice, she gave me some books to read. I asked her questions. It helped to transform my life, because first it was transforming my consciousness. And we're going to talk a lot about that during the class, how just sitting, breathing, and being aware is so transformative to your consciousness. So there's kind of this yin and yang, isn't there? There's the yin of sitting and being quiet and removing oneself from the cacophony of the world around us. And then there's also the expansion of consciousness that helps us, that happens when we engage life, when we feel the pressure, when we feel the pinch of things, and life and our consciousness expands and life expands for us. So fast forward, you know, you have kids, and I needed to meditate a lot when I had the kids, you know, and fast forward some more. And I went through a divorce, which many of you know about, in 2014. And I had two children, and that's stressful enough. And then my mother passed away quite suddenly. She had an accident. She was gone. And I talked to my mother three times a day. We were very close. And my sister. And so during that time, the practice of meditation up to that point helped to keep me in a state where I didn't completely fall apart. I had moments because I'm human. You guys following me, you have moments. But one of the things that meditation does is it helps you to shift your perception and to see yourself, even though at times it felt unfair and I was upset and I was angry and those things would happen, of course. Meditation helped me to find a refuge. We talk a lot about that in the class. You are your own refuge, and you can find that refuge inside. And so there's this beautiful practice, right, that happens. And so this is what meditation has helped me to be healthier, to reduce my stress, to expand my consciousness, and to continue to evolve and to live the life that I want to live. Does this make sense? It sounds almost too good to be true, and all I'm asking you to do is to sit and breathe, really, and to pay attention. That's it. It's simple, but it's not always easy, right? You guys following me? How you doing? Everybody take a deep breath. Sigh out. So when you first come into class, we're going to do a progressive relaxation. We'll do this the same, almost the same way in every single class. And the reason is because I want you to learn how to be comfortable in your own skin. Who wouldn't mind being comfortable in their own skin? And my pants are a little tight or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. To be comfortable in your own skin. Most of us are spending our time literally outside of the body. We're lost in thought. We're thinking about what happened yesterday. We're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. And our attention is everywhere else except for being in the present moment. So one of the things that meditation does is it's not about your mind, even though that's the word that we're going to use. Meditation is really about honing and strengthening the muscle of your attention to be present. Your mind is fine. Your attention is like a dog that has not been trained well, right? You're the dog owner. You see people that are being walked by their dogs, and the dogs are everywhere. I saw this dog walker. I'm assuming he was a dog walker because he had three dogs that looked like they weren't part of the pack. They were everywhere walking around, and he was clearly not in charge. That's what we're like with our minds. Our minds are walking us. And what we want to do is hone and strengthen the muscle of our attention to bring our attention into the present moment, because that's where all our power is. And over the course of 6 weeks, you're going to get really familiar with these concepts. So progressive relaxation helps you to descend from being all here everywhere else and helps you to come into the body bit by bit, and you are going to feel places in the body that are tense. One time I was teaching someone who, or teaching a class, and there was this young attorney, and he said that when he sits for meditation, his arms go numb, and he was really alarmed by it, and he thought, you know, well, what am I doing wrong? And I said, well, meditation isn't making your arms go numb. You are having, you're probably stressed all the time, and now that you're quiet, you can feel the stress that's in the body and in the mind. And that was really alarming to him, you know, that he's walking around with all this stress, but we're just not paying attention. Have you ever had that experience where you cut yourself, but you don't know when it happened to you, or, you know, when did that bruise, or when did I cut myself, or when did that happen? You're just not present to what's going on around you. The other benefit of being in the body is that when you're in the body, you can only be in one place at a time. So if your attention is here, your attention can't be anywhere else, okay? If your attention is in the refuge of your body, it's moving away from thought, and it's not focused on worry, your attention is not on worry, and your attention is not on the past. So I know these are a lot of concepts, and they're important, and we're going to have an opportunity to practice them and to deepen them each week. How does that sound? Pretty good? I think so. I think it sounds really good. So before we get started, I want to talk a little bit about breathing, okay? Because I always get this question later, but I'm being proactive, and I'm addressing it before we actually start doing our deep breathing. In this class, you're going to breathe in and out through your nose. Okay, unless we're doing a specific technique where I ask you to exhale through your mouth. I don't do any techniques where you inhale through your mouth. The reason why we breathe through in and out of the nose, or at least inhale through the nose, is because you have little hairs in there that warm and filter the air, right? And you want to warm the air as it goes into the lungs. And then we're going to do a deep diaphragmic breath here, and I'm going to walk you through it. You have more lung capacity here than you do here, and most of us are very shallow breathers, right? Because we're stressed, and so we're holding our breath, or we just have bad habits, and we've lost the ability to breathe deep into the belly. But anyway, so you want to breathe in and out through your nose, and I just learned this today. I didn't realize this. I was doing some research. I always research stuff before I teach the class, even though I've been teaching it for a long time, that when you exhale through your nose, your body absorbs more oxygen on the exhale, and because your nasal passages are smaller, there's actually more opportunity for your body to absorb the oxygen on the exhale. I thought that was very interesting. So that's another positive reason for inhaling and exhaling through the nose. The only time we exhale through the mouth is to release heat. Anger is a hot emotion. Sometimes when we're angry, I'm going to show you a technique where you do exhale through the mouth because it can help to cool the body, but you don't do it all day long. Nobody says calm down, breathe through your mouth. You know what I mean? Everybody says, you know, calm down, breathe in and out through your nose, you know, but nobody says, hey, start breathing in and out through your mouth. You'll feel a lot calmer. Nobody does that for a reason. Because it's actually a stress response. Okay? So we're going to start with our three-part breath. And you inhale into the belly. Because for most of us, these intercostal muscles here are tight, this can be uncomfortable. So you want to, when you go home, you want to lie down on the floor and practice this breath. Yes? For some of us, if you feel so inclined, I'd like you to stand up. You don't have to, but if you stand up and put your hands on your head like this, and you inhale into the belly, you'll be able to take that deep diaphragmic breath. It's going to be more comfortable. I mean, I don't want you to stand for the whole meditation, but if you want to try it, you guys want to try it? Some of you can try it. Just try it. Just humor me. Just come on. Just try it. So you're going to place your hands on your head just so they can rest there. You're going to stand up straight, and then I want you to inhale so that your belly expands on the inhale. So inhale through the nose, and exhale through the nose, bringing the belly button to the spine. Inhaling through the nose, bringing the breath all the way down into the belly and expand. And exhale, bring the belly button towards the spine. Can you feel that? Inhaling. And exhaling.
You want to remember the movement of that breath. You guys are good sports. Go ahead and sit down.
Thank you very much for entertaining me.
For humoring me. All right, you ready? You ready to meditate? Yeah? One person's ready to meditate.
Yeah,
we're ready to meditate. Okay, feet flat on the floor. Eyes closed. Chin tilted slightly down so that the back of your neck is nice and long. And we're going to take three hog breaths together. So you're going to inhale, and you're going to exhale through your mouth. Oh, that feels good. Let's do that two more times. Inhaling. And again, inhale. Beautiful. And closing the mouth. And just notice what images are moving through your mental screen. Notice the emotions, any emotions, and you're just noticing. And now move your attention away from the images and move your awareness into the refuge of the body. Move your attention down into the tailbone. And in your mind's eye, imagine a golden thread moving up the length of the spine, vertebrae by vertebrae, and the golden thread is moving up slowly. Imagine you can feel the body becoming longer. Imagine you can feel the body becoming taller. Imagine the golden thread now moving up the cervical spine and lengthening the neck. Imagine now the golden thread moving up and out of the crown of your head and moving all the way up towards the ceiling. Imagine it tugging at the crown of the head. Good, and the body is becoming impossibly long and tall. And there's this beautiful alertness. Good, and now bring your attention back down into the body, down the length of the spine. And as you move your attention downward, as you move your attention back down the length of the spine, imagine you can feel the muscles relaxing.
Take your awareness now all the way down to your bottom. Notice if you're leaning to the left or to the right. Go ahead and shift around in your seat a little bit so that you're sitting on both cheeks evenly. Unclench the body and allow the chair to support your weight completely. Allow the chair to support your weight completely. Good, and take your attention now down the backs of your legs, the hamstrings, the backs of your knees. Trace the calves, the heels, the bottoms of your feet. Feel the arches of the feet. The balls of the feet, the pads of the toes. Wiggle the toes around, releasing tension and deepening your awareness of the floor beneath you. The floor that's supporting the chair, that's supporting you and your practice. And take your awareness even deeper down into the earth. Imagine going deep into the earth. Imagine the cool and the rich soil. In your mind's eye, you can see that the earth stretches in all four directions. North and south, east and west. And you are in the center of it. Know that the entire earth is supporting you in your practice. So knowing that the earth is supporting you and holding you, maybe you can let go a little bit more. Let go into the earth. Maybe there's a thought. There's a situation. There's a relationship that's no longer serving you. Let it go into the earth. It's so easy. Just let gravity pull it away from the body-mind. And say to yourself silently, I release anything conscious or unconscious that is no longer serving me. Good. And now bring your attention to your face. Notice if you're holding any tension in the face. Notice if you're frowning. If your eyes are clenched shut. If your teeth are clenched. And just notice. Just bring an awareness. Beautiful. Go ahead and lift your eyebrows up. Lift them all the way up. And then let them drop and smooth the skin of the forehead. Good. And let the eyes be soft. So that your upper and your lower lids are barely touching. Imagine you can feel the eyes resting in the socket. Imagine you can feel your optic nerves resting. Imagine you can feel your brain resting in the skull. Imagine you can feel your nervous system, which is encased in the spine, resting. Beautiful. Bringing your awareness now back to your eye. Bringing your awareness now into the jaw. Go ahead and open up the mouth and move the jaw around gently. Releasing tension and release any pressure in the ears. If you feel the need to yawn, that's good. Go ahead and close the mouth. Place the tip of your tongue at the ridge just behind your two front teeth. Part your lips slightly. And smile just slightly. Adding brightness to the face. And lightness to your practice. Take your beautiful awareness down the sides of the neck and over the shoulders. Roll your shoulders up to the bottoms of your ears and then let them drop. Good. Releasing any tension in the upper neck or in the neck or upper back. Take your awareness now down the length of your arms. Run over your biceps and your triceps, and your elbows, the forearms, and the wrists. Let your arms be heavy. Take your awareness into the hands. Notice if there's any tension in the hands or in the fingers. Go ahead and wiggle your fingers around, releasing tension. And then place your hands either palms up or palms down on your thigh. Good. Take your awareness now underneath the arm and down the sides of the body. All the way down to the ankle. Take your beautiful awareness over the throat and over the chest. Cascade over the belly and into the pelvis. Take your awareness down the thighs the knee, the shin, the ankle, the tops of your feet, between your toes, the tips of your toes. Feel your entire body in the chair. Be present in your body. Good. And feel the gentle movement of the breath in the body. Feel the breath as it glides in and out through your nose. Are you breathing through your right or your left nostril? Maybe you're breathing through both nostrils evenly. Follow the breath now into the chest. And feel the gentle rise and fall of the chest. Follow the breath now down into the belly. And feel the gentle rise and fall of the belly. Good. And exhaling deeply through the nose, pulling the belly button in towards the spine. And inhale all the way down into the belly so that the belly expands. And exhaling through the nose, releasing the breath. Inhaling so that the belly expands, it fills just like a balloon. And exhaling through the nose, you're doing a good job releasing. Inhale so that the belly expands and the chest rises, a nice full deep inhale. And exhaling through the nose, good. And letting the chest fall and the belly move towards the spine. Inhaling so the belly expands and the chest rises, keeping the shoulders relaxed. Exhaling through the nose, good. And again, inhaling so that the belly expands and the chest rises, keeping your shoulders relaxed. Beautiful, and release. And again, inhaling, nice deep inhale, and then hold your breath. And exhale to the count of four if you can. One, two, three, four. Beautiful. And just pause. Inhale to the count of four. One, two, three, four. Beautiful. And hold the breath. Exhaling to four. One, two, three, four. Good. Inhaling to four. One, two, three, four. And hold the breath. And exhale to six if you can. It's a long, slow, deep exhale. Take your time. Four, five, six. Good. Inhale to the count of four. One, two, three, four. And hold. Exhale to six. One, two, three, four, five, six, and pause. Inhale, one, two, three, four. Good. And exhale to six, two, three, four, five, six, and hold. Inhale to the count of four. Exhale to six. If it feels good, if you can go deeper and exhale to the count of eight, do that. Totally up to you. And do this a few more times on your own, inhaling mindfully, deeply, exhaling slowly. And now let deep breathing go. Let the counting go. Scan the body for any areas of tension and relax. Let the breath be natural. if your attention has wandered, come back to the body. Scan the body for any areas of tension and just relax. Nice, deep, conscious, connected breath all the way down to the bottoms of your feet. Inside out. That was good. Let's do that again. Inhale, this time all the way down into the center of the earth. Get deep and connected. And just sigh it out. Very gently open up the eyes just a little bit, gazing down at the floor. Allow the light in the room to filter in. Just take another moment of feeling presence in the body. And open up your eyes all the way, wiggle fingers and toes, coming all the way back to the room. And give yourself a hug, because you're so awesome. And then give yourself another hug, because I know you like it. Nice stretch. How you guys doing? Good. Good, 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 good. A relaxed body is a relaxed mind. Talk about that a lot in class, right? So coming into the body and feeling those places of tension and relaxing them consciously. That's all we're doing. You know, that's it. Focusing on the breath. And we'll talk about thoughts. Maybe tonight, maybe next week. Probably next week. We'll talk more about how to rein in, how to hone your attention so those thoughts aren't getting to you quite as much. Okay? Does anybody have any questions about the meditation? How was the breathing? Everybody's in the zone. We're like, we're good. Yeah. Yeah.
What was the thing about your head with your nose?
Just the little hairs in your nose. So what warms the air is the little hairs that we have on our nose, and the hairs also filter out particles. So that you're getting clean, you know, clean oxygen, relatively clean, you know, into the lungs. That's a good question. Anything else? I got lots of information here about your meditation. Okay.
So before we get into the next part of the class, I want you guys to write down what your intention is for health, wealth, and happiness. What is that for you? And the reason is, it's very important that we have, remember we talked about yin and yang? You know, we can't always just be in the state of such deep relaxation that we're not actually living in our lives. And we need, your mind needs objectives. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a beautiful thing, right? If we go back to the mind being like the dog, right? You love the dog, right? And you want to take it for a walk, and you want to exercise the dog, and you want to be good to the dog, but the dog, you aren't the master, and the dog obeys, right? But we still need to exercise the dog. And one of the ways in which we do that is having a very clear objective. Now, you can have a clear objective for having a very deep relationship with your source. That could be your objective. It doesn't have to be about anything material, because what all of this is about, it's about obtaining the consciousness that moves worlds. Do you understand that? You are creating in your life every moment of every day, mostly unconsciously. Dun, dun, dun. And we want to create consciously as much as we can, and or give our unconscious mind very clear directives so we don't always have to be thinking about the thing that we want to experience. But it's always about consciousness. So what is it? Why are you here, basically? What are you hoping to get out of the class? Write it down. You need to know. Why are you here? I want deeper relaxation. I want greater happiness. Make it big. Why are you here? What do you want? I have my eyes on everything. You guys got it? What evidence, what needs to happen so that you know that you are on your way to realizing that intention? What evidence will there be? How will you know? So if you want greater health, I'll know that I'm on my way to manifesting or to realizing the consciousness of perfect health when I am able to walk a half a mile without stopping. How will you know?
How will I know when I accomplish
this? When you're on your way?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. What evidence? You know, you're taking a trip to, you know, San Francisco, but you know you're almost there when you reach, you know, your favorite place in Santa Barbara or wherever, and you stop there for lunch, and you know San Francisco is just right around the corner from there. Like that. You got it? Yeah. Good. Everybody take a deep breath. And sigh out. That feels good, doesn't it? Is all stress bad? Some of us are like, whoa, yeah. Is all stress bad? Hmm?
No, not when you're chased by a bear. No. Remember, we talked about opposition and conflict. Actually, the article that I'd like you to read is on how to become a super ager. And this is for you to read when you go home or read this week. It's really a great article. And they talk about the things that keep us young actually is being challenged, is being uncomfortable. So I'd like you to read that. So is all stress bad? Not when you're being chased by a bear. There's a certain amount of stress that comes when you're trying to figure out, when you're frustrated. That feels like stress, right? When you're trying to put the IKEA table together and you can't figure it out, you just want to throw it out the window. But you don't. And you make it and it's a little wobbly, but it's okay. It's all good. So frustration, some of that isn't a bad thing. We don't want to always be in this blissed out Zen mode. Does everybody know who Eckhart Tolle is? Have you guys heard of him? He wrote a book called The Power of Now, one of my favorite books. It's very esoteric. And if you decide to read that book, it's not a book that you read like a story. It's the language and the way in which he has written it is to evoke consciousness expansion. So it's not a book for you to read so you get it. It's you read it to allow yourself to expand. Well, one of the things that he tells me, you know, when he had his epiphany or his awakening, he was miserable, he was suicidal, you know, he was thinking, what, you know, what's it all about? I should just kill myself. I can't stand living with myself. Something like that, I'm paraphrasing. And he said, in that moment, there was a separation of myself from my mind. I am not my mind. I am sick of myself or tired of myself or I can't live with myself. What is the I? And he said he passed out basically. And when he woke up, the world was new. And it was, the birds were singing, it's like he'd never heard or seen before. And then he went on this journey to try and find out what had happened to him, and he'd go to different spiritual teachers, and he realized that the thing that they were talking about, he already had. And what he discovered, though, was that he lost the balance. He talks about this in some of his later talks. He said, I lost the balance. It was too zoned out, you know, living on a park bench, you know, and just kind of going with the flow. It was great, but that's not why we're here. We're here to be in both worlds at the same time. So this idea that we're always going to be in this state of bliss isn't accurate. What we can be is in a state of understanding and expansion. Does this make sense? So sometimes when I work with my private clients and they will tell me a story of something that happened to them. I'm a mommy and I like to be a mommy for everyone. And sometimes my feelings are hurt hearing their story. That hurts my feelings. But if I stay in that state, I can't help them. So I allow my feelings to be hurt for them. And then I tell myself it's time to clear this. Do you understand? There's tension, there's pain. That's compassion, by the way. The quivering of the heart in response to the suffering of another. We should feel that way. We can't descend into it, though. Like, I can't believe that happened to you, you know. That's not going to help anybody. That's not going to help to expand compassion. That's not going to help us to expand our awareness and move into a state of forgiveness and release. Does this make sense? So let's accept that we are going to have some stress. When stress is not good, right, when you have too much stress, so when you're on the opposite of Eckhart Tolle, which, by the way, I think I shared this with some of you guys. That was a funny story about Eckhart Tolle. I thought I was so spiritual. So I went to go see Eckhart Tolle with my mother, and I told my mom, like, Mom, this guy, you know, you just might not get it. When he talks. It was at UCLA. It's on a Monday night, and the kids were little, and I had them all day, and for some reason it was at 8 o'clock at night, which is really late when you have kids. So I go up there, and we're in the auditorium, mother's sitting here,
And as soon as he starts talking, he talks like this. I was out. I fell asleep. I couldn't help it. And then when it was, I woke up when it was over. And my mother goes, "You missed a really good talk." I'm like, "Of course I did." Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, stress. So when you want the opposite of Eckhart Tolle, when you're totally stressed out, right? Like the attorney whose arms had gone numb. Your body is a reflection, or what's happening in your body is a reflection of what's going on in your mind. So if you are experiencing a lot of overstress, there's stress in the mind. Okay? Where we want to manage the stress is actually in your perception. Sometimes, and we're talking about Eckhart Tolle, he says, you're in a situation that doesn't feel good, you accept it, change it, or leave it. Those are your options. Sometimes, if you're at a job, right, and the job is just over the top stressful, but you're not in a financial position to quit, right, then there's some shift in your perception. You don't have to stay there and suffer because you can handle the stress in here. Because your body and your mind are one. Okay, you guys following me? Your body, it's not my body and my mind and my spirit. There's only one thing happening, and your body is a reflection of what's going on in your mind. So when you tell yourself, I don't want perfect health, because that can change at different times depending on your age and what's going on. And perfect health for me and, you know, when I was 15 and running track might be different than, you know, when I'm 47, right? It's totally different. Maybe not, right? So these external things, what I want is the consciousness of perfect health. I do want to feel good in my body. I want to feel comfortable in my own skin. I want to live disease free. That is possible. I told myself a couple years ago, I've decided not to get sick anymore. And I don't. It doesn't mean I don't have other things happen. But when I hear the news and they're talking about the flu, I turn it off. I don't even want to hear it. The only reason why you get a flu is if you're overstressed and overworked and you need a rest. So I just tell my body, you know, I need to be in charge of when I need to rest. And I can tell when I'm starting to get overworked because my neck hurts. Now, I used to work so much, you know, being with the kids, that the only time I could rest was when I was sick. Who can relate to that? Right? Like, I have the flu, go away. And the world would just have to stop and, you know, and everybody got fed. They're probably just eating loaves of bread, but they ate, right? That's just what happens. So, but when you take responsibility for your health and your well-being, you can tell yourself, I don't need to get sick anymore. But that means you need to be good to the body and take really good care of it. Now, I say that having had the experience of being betrayed by my body. That's how I felt. I got very, very sick. And I didn't understand why. I couldn't make the connection between what was going on in my conscious mind. I'm very into this whole mind thing. That did happen. It was scary. I still believe and still feel that I could tell myself I don't need to get sick to learn that lesson. Now, that's up to you. Okay? So how does this happen? You guys following me? Everybody take a deep breath. And release. It's good stuff. I want you, if you have your pen, to draw this on your sheet, and I'm gonna talk us through it so the people at home will, if they can't see. You're gonna draw a circle, a big one. You can't see it, but just know that it's happening. With here, this pen is not working. So what I'm gonna share with you is how your mind works. And because your mind works this way, this is how your reality works. The more I do this stuff, this living stuff, the more convinced I am that what you believe and what I believe and what we believe on the deepest level, what we think, right, because think and belief, they're intertwined, I'm going to show it to you, creates your reality. Now, If something is not to your liking, you just say, this isn't working for me. What do I need to shift in here to shift it out here? That's it. I promise you. What do I need to shift in here? What needs to be cleared up so that this will shift out here? It's not your parents, although, you know, we're going to talk about conditioned mind and why our mind is like this. This is just stuff most of us are never taught until we come to a center like this, or you read Deepak Chopra, or you read Eckhart Tolle, or you read Louise Hay or something like that, where they're talking about how your mind and how your reality works. I promise you that if you do this, your life will be almost exactly what you want it to be, but there's always room for surprise, right? I mean, you kind of want to be surprised. You want to know, like, the end of those, like, oh, you know how the whole movie's going to end? Why would you go see it? That's no fun, you know? You got to have some surprises. You guys following me? Whatever you wrote on your sheet, this class, you working it, is going to help you realize it. I promise. Okay? You guys with me? You want to know how I know this? I have a good relationship with my ex-husband. Dun, dun, dun. Really. We text. We talk on the phone. We talk about our kids. You know, we'll have dinner together on occasion. I'm not going to tell you we're the best of friends and we're holding hands and skipping down the yellow brick road, but we have a good relationship. And my children, who are 17 and 14, I have to think, how old are they? 17 and 14. Some of you have met my kids. They're really good people. They've done the work. They're really good people. You know, their parents, their family exploded. Within 6 months, we were no longer living together, and their grandmother, who they were very close to, died all at the same time. This didn't just happen to me. This happened to all of us. Do you understand? It happened to my dad. Everybody was falling apart. They are amazing people. They're happy. They're getting good grades. They have good friends. I'm not saying I'm Mother of the Year because I'm not. I don't know what I'm doing. It's like you're a person. You know, we'll just figure this out as we go along, and we ask for help when we need it. But I know that working these principles, meditation, understanding how your mind works, certainly aided in that, because I've seen other families go through less and completely implode. You guys know what I'm saying? Everybody say, oh, yeah. Yeah. You guys are on this train. You guys getting on the happy train or what? I think we're getting on the happy train. Everybody's got to get on the happy train. All right, so we're going to draw a circle. All that's better. And at the top, you're going to write belief. At the very top of the circle. To the right, you're going to write thought / emotion. This is such good stuff. I'm so excited that we're all here again.
Circle.
The circle of life. On the bottom, you're going to write action. To the left, you're going to write environment. You can write environment. You can also write experience. And you can even write body. I consider your body part of your external environment. You guys got that? Okay. So now I'm going to point to with your environment helps to create your beliefs in general. The environment in which you are born into. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Your parents, there's Dr. Bruce Lipton. We've talked about him in the past. He's a cell biologist. He's written a couple of books. My favorite one is The Honeymoon Effect, but he wrote a book called The Biology of Belief. He talks a lot about how this stuff. He calls it acculturation. When an infant is born, you don't need to give the infant, the child, a book on how we do things in our community. They just absorb it. Right? They just absorb it. They just know it. They learn the norms of their society. The problem is that they also absorb the dysfunction in the home. We all do. We all have parents, so we all have dysfunction. Okay? And they have dysfunction and so on and so forth.
And by dysfunction, I just mean wrong thinking. You guys following me? Okay. So you're in, and then your beliefs, right, which are mostly unconscious. Your beliefs are unconscious. You don't really know all of your beliefs. Dictate what your thinking and your feeling is about any given situation. So one of the themes in the class is, it's not them, it's you. Sorry. It's not them, it's you. It's your reaction to what's going on. Your thoughts and your emotions dictate your actions. Okay? So you see we're going from the inner and we're getting more outward. Most of us are not conscious of our behavior. Now, I know there are some men in the class and maybe they didn't have this issue, but one, like last week, my pants fit. This week, they don't fit. It just happens. I was not conscious of the chips and all the other stuff and, you know, that I was eating. You understand what I'm saying? I was not aware of the action. I was probably eating emotionally. Who cares? But that's what, you're not conscious of our actions. Your actions help to create in your environment. And then your environment reinforces your beliefs. So this is the cycle of samsara. Cognitive therapy talks about something very, very similar. But for our purposes, we're calling this the cycle of death and rebirth, the cycle of suffering. It's suffering when you're not conscious of it because you are constantly creating in your environment through your beliefs, through your thinking, through your doing. And then through your affirmations of what you see in your environment. Are you guys following me? How much time do I have? Now, I'm going to give you a big clue to all of this. And right in the center of the circle, I want you to write language. I can tell you after spending 30 minutes with somebody, if they come to me and they tell me that they're having a particular issue, okay, I can listen to their language and I know what's going on in their mind, not like in total, but I can get a pretty good idea of what's going on and why they're having that particular issue at that moment based on their language. That's a good question. Like what? Like how you talk about yourself, how you would describe yourself, right? That's one way. People who want to date. I have a, you know, a friend of mine. But she, the way that she talks about men, it's really negative, you know? And so she says consciously, and she does. She really wants to have a functional relationship. But her language says otherwise, and she's completely, and we all are, we're not aware of our language. We're not aware of the things and the ways in which we describe ourselves and our world. Those people, why are they like that? Well, if I really believe it's me and it's not them, I am those people. I'm just talking about myself. So I'm not going to fix them. I got to fix me. Listen, if you are waiting for people to change before you can be happy, how long are you going to wait? Forever. That is not health, wealth, and happiness. It's just not going to happen. I remember when, you know, I was so frustrated with my ex-husband, and I think I shared this with you guys before, and I decided I'm going to be happy no matter what. I just felt like he was just perfect. And as soon as I made that realization, his behavior magically shifted, and I had the awareness that, oh, it was me the whole time, because I'm the one that made the decision I'm going to be happy no matter what. And magically, within 24 hours, his behavior was different. His behavior may have always been like that, but I couldn't see it because I had the belief that he was the enemy and he was the problem. Do you understand? As long as somebody is your enemy, you will always have the experience and you will always see them doing the things that irritate you. It's amazing. And I know that we all know this, but we're not practicing it. And it's an evolution. I shouldn't say we can practice it in a more deep and a more spiritual way so that it is a spiritual practice. I was talking to a friend of mine, you know, we're talking about the bad things that happen. Bad things happen, you know, things that don't feel good, they happen. But when you understand how you create your reality, you might not understand why everything happens to you. Those things can deepen your humanity, deepen the compassion that you have for someone else. And in deepening your humanity, you actually come closer to God. Do you understand? It's not, we don't come closer to God by being less human or source or spirit. I said the G word for some of us. We freak out when we hear it, you know. But we come closer when we deepen in our humanity. And we are in a challenging time, are we not? We are all in a challenging time. This works on the microcosm, which you and I, and our personal awareness and lives. This is also the mind of the world. This is happening on a macro level. We're seeing people on everywhere with their beliefs, their thoughts, their emotions, the way that they're behaving, and we're behaving. And then what it's doing in the environment, and then we say, see, I told you that's how they are. Look at it. But we're not really seeing the whole story. That's the thing about this. This is actually, this circle is like the little pinprick. This is an illusion that it's this big. It's very tiny. And we're only seeing part of it. And it's supposed to be like that because we're all different. But we have to know that we're only seeing and hearing part of the story. And if you are having a deep, visceral, emotional reaction to anything that's going on around you, your practice this week is to say, it's not them, it's me. Everybody take a deep breath. Sigh it out. That's good stuff, right? Who is the most powerful person in the room if I don't depend on you to make a change in order for me to be happy? Who has the power? I do. Then who has the power to create change? Yeah. We all do, actually. That's how it begins. But most of us aren't taught this. That's why, because we're here, it's so important for us to do this spiritual work. Because the world needs us all to be conscious. And to have the quivering of the heart in response to the suffering of another. If you feel opposed to something, find another story, find another side, find the compassion, find the understanding. That's also part of your homework this week, to deepen your humanity. Make sense? How are you guys doing? Oh my gosh, it's going by fast, I know. I'm going to stop here because we're going to be going over this throughout the class because there's different facets to it. I got lots of stories and stuff to share with you. But we got lots of meditating to do because it feels good, right? We're like, I'm fine. I don't know about you. All right. So we're going to do, does anybody have any quick questions? Yes, Teddy. Yes, ma'am.
Did you say that you can tell by the language of the people where they are at?
Yes.
I actually believe, but it's your perception of the death.
Yes, that's an excellent point. It's my perception of them. If I'm in a clear state, meaning if I'm not in an emotional or volatile state, I can hear them quite quickly or quite clearly. But you're right. I mean, we all have our different perceptions. It's when you're in a heightened emotional state that you can't hear anybody else's perception. But there are certain triggers like must. I'll bring a list of language of triggers that you guys can listen for. I have to do something. I have to do this. Does that person sound like they're empowered if they have to do something, or are they being compelled by somebody or some other force outside of them? Right. If they say, I want to do this, that's a statement of empowerment. So they're very neutral statements. that I'm listening for. It's not the content, it's the context in which they're talking about it. I have to do this. I have to do this for my family. I have to do this for my boss. You know, I'm overwhelmed. I can see why they're stressed. I'm just listening to their language. They're not in a state of empowerment. They're not enjoying themselves in their lives. So can we get them to shift their perception to where they can choose where they are now, as an example? That's an excellent point. You guys follow? All right. I think we're coming to the end. There's some glassy eyes going on here. Okay, I get it. We're going to finish with a meditation. I'll be here after class. If anybody has any other questions, I'm happy to answer. So you guys ready?
Yes, I am ready.
Feet flat on the floor. Eyes closed. Chin tilted slightly down so that the back of your neck is nice and long. Just take three ha breaths together. Inhale. Exhale. Oh, that feels so good. Let's do that again. Inhale. And one more time. Inhale. Beautiful. Feeling your beautiful body in the chair. Go ahead and relax your face. Lift your eyebrows up and let them drop. Open up the mouth and move the lower jaw around gently. Closing the mouth and place the tip of your tongue just at the ridge behind your two front teeth. Part your lips slightly and smile just slightly. Good. Let your arms be heavy. Place your palms, your hands, either palms down on your thighs or palms up. Whatever feels comfortable. Roll your toes around and deepen your connection with the earth, with the ground beneath you. And now feel the breath in the body. Feel the breath as it glides in and out through your nose. And in your mind's eye, imagine that on the inhale that you're breathing in this gorgeous, beautiful white light. And you inhale it. And when you exhale smoke, exhale stress, any negativity, and the smoke just dissipates, it disappears, you don't have to worry about it. You inhale that beautiful white light, sending it into the eyes. And in your mind's eye, imagine the breath and the light circling around in the eye, healing and balancing, restoring. And when you exhale smoke. Exhale any negativity from the eye. Inhaling the white light. Imagine it moving up the optic nerves and into the brain.
And in your mind's eye, the white light and the breath move over all the folds of the brain. Penetrates deep into the brain, healing. Healing breath, healing light. Good. And when you exhale, exhale any stress, any imbalance in the brain. Let it go. You don't need it. Inhaling the white light. Into the brain and exhaling smoke. Inhaling the white light, sending it into the nervous system, which is encased in your spine. And in your mind's eye, the light and the breath move throughout the nervous system, strengthening, healing. And when you exhale, exhale smoke from the nervous system. Let it go. Let any of the nervousness, the anxiety, the worry, release it from the body. Inhaling the white light into the nervous system, and it's even brighter. And exhale smoke. Good. Inhaling the white light down into the lungs. And exhale smoke. Exhale any negativity, anything that's preventing you from taking a deep breath. Inhaling the white light, sending it into the heart. And in your mind's eye, imagine the heart being caressed by the light and the breath. In your mind's eye, the light is healing. The breath is healing the heart. Removing any burdens or any heaviness. And exhale. Exhale smoke. Exhale any negativity. Let the burdens go. Inhaling the white light. Sending it into the bloodstream. And exhale, smoke. Inhaling the white light into the skeletal system, strengthening, healing. And exhale any negativity. Exhale, inhale the white light from the top of your head to the tips of your toes, filling the entire inner body with light. And exhale, smoke. Exhale any negativity, any resistance, the burden, the dis-ease, let it go. Inhaling. Filling the body with beautiful light, beautiful breath, the muscles, every cell of the body is filled with this light. And exhale, smoke. Inhaling the light. And when you exhale, you'll notice that the smoke is getting lighter. Inhaling the light. And the smoke is even lighter. Inhaling the white light. And exhaling the light. Inhaling the white light and exhaling the white light. Inhaling the peace, the prosperity, the joy, the balance, and exhale the peace, joy, the prosperity, the balance. In your mind's eye, the room is filled with light. Inhaling the light and exhaling the light. And there's just the light. And so maybe there's a person, a situation, a place that you want to share this light with, this peace, this prosperity, the joy, the balance. You can send them some light. And say to yourself silently, I am the light. And just be in that space. Taking a nice, deep, conscious, connected breath all the way down to the bottoms of your feet. And sigh it out. Take another nice, long, deep breath down into the center of the earth. Get nice and grounded and connected. Sigh it out. Bringing your awareness very gently back into the room. Opening your eyes. Wiggle your fingers and your toes. Knowing that you are the light. Hands in prayer position at your heart. Namaste, everyone. Have a wonderful week. Namaste. Mm-hmm.